Well, Shane and I have both been involved in Project Shane more than I have, so we're going to kind of tag team it a little bit. But why don't we pray and get started? I have Kristen here. I think she might, you're going to bug out here after your testimony to get to another. So we'll start off with Kristen here in a minute, but let's pray. Shane, you want to pray for
sure.
us?
Okay. Thank you for this group, and thank you for Max Barnett and his vision for Life Impact and Project Impact. And just, Lord, I just pray that you'd speak to us today, and just, Lord, just thank you for the speaker's words today, Lord, touch my heart. God, I pray that we can honor you with our lives, and just as we learn and replenish ourselves here this week, in your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, Kristen was with me in Chicago this summer, and so I asked her to come and share, but first I have... I asked her if she would help me out with a little, just a little illustration and get us started. So, Kristen, this is what I want you to do. It's just a, you know, just a little illustration. And so I'm going to give you some instructions. And if you would just draw what I tell you to draw. Okay, so first off, I want you to draw just a straight line, kind of as however long is fine. Okay, and now draw a line parallel to it. Okay, now I want you to draw a triangle on top of it. Okay, and then maybe a rectangle inside of it. Okay, so with that's the square. With this, I really had in mind for Kristen to draw something for me, and I've instructed her on how to do it. But I think that she might get it a little bit better if I maybe showed her how to do it. So, Kristen, just draw these same things, but let me show you how I want you to draw it. Okay, so first off, your straight line, I just want it to go down like that. And I mean, it can be, yeah, that's good. That's good. Okay, and then your parallel line is going to be just over, you know, I actually wanted a vertical. I maybe should have said vertical.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Gotcha.
But that's how I want it to go. And then your triangle, I want your triangle to be on top like this.
Okay.
That's good. You're a good little artist. And then your rectangle, I actually want to be like that. So really, what I wanted Kristen to draw was a house. All right? I don't know. You guys can't see it very well. But basically, what we do at Project Impact, and she might share this with you a little bit, but what we do at Project Impact is our desire is to train students by showing them, by modeling, not just telling them what to do. And so the thing is, a lot of ministries, matter of fact, churches, I heard one speaker one time say, you know, I've heard enough sermons in my life. I think he was probably 60 when he said this. I've heard enough sermons in my life that I could really be a good, if I did everything that those preachers told me, I could really be a good Christian. But I don't always remember them. And so the most impact in my life was when someone took me alongside of them and showed me how to walk the Christian life and did a quiet time with me and memorized verses with me and took me out to the mall and helped me share the gospel with someone and things like that. And so Project, just to give you a starting overview of what we're going to talk about a little bit, is that Project Impact, really, the vision and the heart of it is to get you living in a community with other believers. You'll have some small group leaders that are a little bit older than you that maybe have learned some things. And then also, one of the things about why I wanted Kristen to share, and she doesn't know this, is because she came as a participant this year, but ended up being an incredible leader because she already had, I mean, she wasn't a leader, but she just had so much influence on other believers. So they lived in community. People saw how Kristen lived. Kristen had a great leader, and she learned from her leader, but then you know, just living in community, you model what you know and people learn from you and this and that. I'm not communicating it very clearly. But really, instead of just the concept of Project Impact is instead of just having a speaker come in once a week or whatever, we do have that because we do learn that way. But more than that, you live with a leader in a group of five girls maybe, or guys, and you're watching your leader all summer long and how they live their life. And then a lot of people work with each other, and they see, okay, how do you share the gospel with someone that you're working with? And it's just life-on-life ministry. I don't know if you've heard that phrase before, but just life-on-life where you're learning because you're watching someone else do it, and you're modeling along the way, and you're practicing together. And so, Kristen, I didn't want to take up what you had to say, but I just wanted to give that as an intro. And like I said, Kristen really had a great summer, I think, this summer. And part of it is because she had such an influence on other students while she was there. I'm going to give this to you.
Look at it go. Like the example, like this is obviously not a house. Like I can tell. I don't even know what that would be.
Uh-huh.
Something. I don't know. But I think that was one of the biggest concepts this summer is just watching people, talking with people. There's a lot of time just to get to know people. The directors are always available, and that's so helpful. And our small group leaders and tons of students that you just get to understand like where they're coming from, how their ministry is, and just growing with them. And so that's really, like, it does summarize what the summer's about. And it was really a blur for me. Like, it was 2 months, but it went by way faster than that. It was even faster than, like, my first semester in college. And it was just a blur, and it seems like you were there, and then you had to leave, but it was worth it. It was the most influential thing I could have done with my summer. And so I think I learned a lot more about it whenever I got back to school. I learned how to use what I had learned, so I remembered that I had learned it, you know, like, and I had seen change in myself in the summer. And that came into play when I was back at school, back at home, actually using the things I learned. So maybe I'm a slow learner, that could be it too, but I learned a lot of things in retrospect, kind of looking back. And so I'm just going to list a couple of the things that I really took away from Project Impact. And I could probably talk for a really long time, but I'll try not to. I think one of the main things is that I had never had a real job. I had worked for my parents and things like that, like, my whole life. So jumping in and having a full-time job in the summer was kind of a stretch for me, and I actually had to get 3 jobs to get 40 hours a week, which was a blast. I loved it. I worked at a thrift store, I worked at Wendy's, and at Bath & Body Works. And so it was it was a stretching summer, certainly commuting there and taking other students to work, but it was definitely a learning experience because I learned how to deal well my time just to recognize that I don't have a lot of it, especially it's going to get less and less whenever we get through college and out of college. And so just to start learning how to manage time to be with God, to be with other believers, and to witness to people, like, it's going to get harder and harder. And so this summer is just kind of like training for real life, like what it's going to be like, what it is like. And so that was helpful, just learning how to work a lot and to work with integrity with the people that we were working with, our bosses, our coworkers, and just being able to share the gospel with them by the way we work, and then also just through our God-glorifying words, just in different techniques that we were taught throughout the summer. And so I think just learning how to work hard and use time wisely, it was definitely not an easy task. It took a lot of energy, but it was worth it to be with our coworkers and things like that and develop relationships with them and share the gospel with them. And so that was one of the things, is just working hard and working with integrity. Another thing was the importance of fellowship and harmony, especially with, like, roommates and stuff. And I know it was different for every room, at least in our group, just how we managed to get along and who did what. I mean, we're living in an apartment, cooking for ourselves, and having to go shopping, and who pays for gas, who pays for groceries this week kind of thing. And that's all taken care of. You get, like, a grocery allowance and things like that. But just being able to build relationships with people just doing real-life stuff, like what you're going to be doing And like Jeff said, not a lot of it's, I mean, exciting. We might we have to cook, we have to wash dishes and things like that. So just learning how to deal with people on a daily basis and just really growing together in those things in Christ has been a huge help in going back and living in the dorms with people and just working with people there. And I think it's just kind of a testament to what good friends you'll make at Project. And there's 17, I think, 15 or so people from my Project Chicago here at Life Impact. And so getting to be with them is awesome, just to see how their semesters have gone. And so you will make lifelong friendships. That's out of the question to not have friendships that are across states, across the country. Like, you'll have friends everywhere that you won't want to not stay in touch with. That makes sense? I think that made sense. Okay, so learned how to work and just the importance of fellowship. And also just growing up, kind of, in general. Like, it's gonna someday not be where I'll be under my parents' authority and stuff like that. And so just learning how to use money wisely and just trying to be responsible, a responsible Christian adult. It was awesome. It's just kind of like training for real life. And I enjoyed just learning how to grow up a little bit in my faith and just in age, I guess. just watching directors and the staff members have been helpful in that. And I think as far as like the training part goes, definitely in evangelism and discipleship were the things that I learned so much of. I was very, I think like I've grown up in church and things like that, but I really wasn't trained in like good ways of relating to people and discipling people. And so I think that coming out of this summer, like if I could describe myself in one word, it would be well-trained. I guess that's two words, but whatever. Like I just feel like I'm much more confident in understanding how to witness to people. We just hear several different illustrations and techniques, and we see it a lot. People are talking to people on the L train. People are coming to know Christ outside of our church downtown. And just things like that were incredible, just to see God working in a group of believers to reach people who weren't followers of Christ. And so it just learning to decompartmentalize my life. Is that even a word? I don't know. But like to show that Jesus affects everything we do, not just when we're at church or when we're at the BCM or BSU, whatever it's called here. It's all over. And it's got to infect every portion of your life. And I think just taking down barriers between portions of my life this summer was very important, showing that Jesus affects all of it. And so that was really, really good to see in evangelism, just reaching out to people. And just catching a vision for disciple making. Like Max talked a little bit about last night, and like you'll hear more of in this seminar, like it was, you couldn't have missed it. It was so good to be trained so that we can train others. It was very generational. We could see it, like, just in people that were here. Like, the staff members were trained by these people. And so it was like we had generations of believers because of what people had done and what people had learned through Project and through just ministries, other places. And so just the need to reproduce Christ in others was really impacted on my life. And I've seen a change in that in the way I relate to people in the dorms, in my classes this semester. And it's been much more fruitful because of what I learned at Project. And I think if I could summarize my summer in one verse, it would be 2 Corinthians 12:15. It says, "I will most gladly spend and be spent for your souls." And I think just the fact that it's worth it to go out of your way to love and serve and disciple and witness to people, it's worth it. And so just the examples we've seen and the people that were there with us, or the things we learned at the conferences and seminars that we had on the weekends, just working and everything, it all comes together just to show that it's worth it to fight for people, to disciple people, to witness to people. And so I would just say go. Like, even if you have just a few hesitations, just don't worry about it too much. Just think about it, pray about it a lot, and go and expect a lot of change, because you will be changed. And you might not notice it right then. Like I said, you'll come back and you'll see a lot more of it. But it's definitely worth it. And I don't think I would have traded my summer for anything ever. So if you have any questions, find me or whatever. I'd love to talk about it. I love to. My family knows that.
Awesome.
Thanks, yeah. Kristen. Need anything else?
I told her since she's been to Project Impact, she doesn't really need to sit in on the workshop. So you want to go sit in on someone?
Yes, but I would love to.
Okay, so you're still probably a little bit wondering, what is this Project Impact? I've heard about it from different people and things, and we have made a video of some of the guys that have led Project Impact. And one or two of the guys were actually participants, and then they led it later as well. And so it's just kind of talking heads, but it's really good informational stuff. So we're going to move to just watching one that says, we're going to start off with a What is Project Impact video. Hoping that it's loud enough.
Students can get away from challenging their character, their understanding of who God is, and do that with a lot of other college students.
Project Impact is an intensive summer training program that we have designed to really equip students for real-world ministry. We're outside of the Bible Belt in a major metropolitan area, and they get full-time jobs during the week, and they're not at work. How to work for someone, how to apply for a job, resume, how to interview, and learn how to cook, how to clean, how to get along with people they're living with. In the midst of all that, we try to teach them how to walk with God, share their faith, study the Bible, and plug into local churches. It's a big undertaking, but the results that we've seen so far have been phenomenal.
One of the great opportunities you'll have as a college student is to go to Project Impact. This is a summer training program for the months of June and July. It enables you to get away from your routine, live in community with a group of students, have someone who's a leader of that group that can really give you some training. Right now is the time to get deep truths built into your lives and learn skills that will help you for the remainder of your life.
It's kind of where you get your foundation on your spiritual basics, really, just quiet time, scripture memory, evangelism, and also you do a 9-to-5 job in a regular workplace, and you learn, how do I relate my Christian life with my work life, and how do I share the gospel with the people that I'm working with in a comfortable and approachable way to where I'm not just blasting it at them all the time. I want to be challenged. I want to be stretched. I want to have opportunities come in my life that are going to push me to really rely more on Christ more than on the world and myself. What Project Impact does is it basically gives you all that opportunity all within 10 weeks. Project Impact puts you into an environment that you're not used to. You're living with people you've never lived with before. You're learning how to resolve conflicts with them. And also how to get along with other people around you. At the same time, you're getting a job. You're learning how to work.
You will get some training and really be helped in your walk with God, your character. Learn about working with others. Learn about teamwork. And I think that's one of the great preparations then for spending a summer overseas. If you go to Project Impact, I've never talked to anyone that's ever been that's been disappointed.
So that kind of gives you a little bit more of an idea, but still, I know it's just such a nebulous thing. It's like, okay, well, what do you really do while you're there, what's the daily schedule, or what does a typical week look like? Tim said it's 10 weeks. It's actually 8 weeks, and then if you're a leader, you go for a 9th week at the beginning of the summer for training to be a leader for the summer. Basically, what a typical week looks like, if we started on Sunday, we start off by going to a church that we've decided to partner with, and they have a similar vision of what we're trying to do by reaching out to the community and things like that. So we go and worship with them, and then during the afternoons, we often do activities that help them to help that church to reach out in their community. So you're partnering with a church that's really on mission for the Lord, and they're trying to figure out ways to reach their community. This summer, we were in Evanston, Illinois, where Northwestern College is. It's right there on the lake and in Lake Michigan. And, you know, we'd go down to the park that's right along the lake, and we'd hand out water bottles that had information about the church, and we'd try to have opportunities to share the gospel with them one Sunday. one Sunday we went all around the town picking up trash. We were wearing these things called Alley Sheep or something, t-shirts that said Alley Sheep. We picked up trash, and people would ask, what are you doing, you know? And we'd say, oh, well, we're with Evanston Baptist Church, and we're doing, you know, this, and trying to have an opportunity to share the gospel with them. Just all kinds of activities. A lot of churches do cookouts maybe to try to reach out to the community. And so we just get involved on Sunday. Sunday night is generally a time of rest and refreshment because you need it from your week. You kick off Monday through Friday. You're working from 8. Sometimes students get jobs a little bit earlier that start, you know, like a McDonald's shift might start at 6 or 7. But you have to be off work by 5 o'clock because most of your discipleship training and Bible studies and things happen in the evenings. This summer, we did Monday night. I mean, it just kind of varies from summer to summer, sort of. But this summer, we did a Monday night evangelism training. And so we read through a book together called Outflow. And then and basically it went through Acts 1:8, your Jerusalem, your Judea, Samaria, your out to the outermost parts of the earth. And each week, we talked about how can we reach those specific parts. And then we shared illustrations. Like everyone walked away knowing how to share the bridge illustration this summer. You know, everyone knew. One night we did one on, I think we might have did, how to share Jesus without fear. Have you guys heard that? And so we kind of walked through some of the questions that you might ask. So Monday night was evangelism training. Tuesday night they did small group Bible study. Now you live at Project Impact. You live, like I said, with 3 or 4 other girls or guys. And one of those people is your small group leader. They're the ones that have applied to be the leaders there. And part of their responsibility for the summer is to lead a Bible study. And we read through a book as well as we studied through the book of Mark. So on Tuesday nights, they discussed the book of Mark. They did a Bible study. The leaders learned this summer how to plan and prepare and lesson plan for an effective Bible study. So that was some of the training that I did with them, was to really help them know how to put together a really effective Bible study through the book of Mark. And then they did it for 8 weeks. They planned these Bible studies. And then they read through, I forget, it was an Andy Stanley book. What was that? It Came From Within was the book we read this summer. And so then they'd have a discussion. So the participants were responsible to read through the book of Mark this summer and read through It Came From Within and be ready on Tuesday nights to really have some discussion. It Came From Within kind of penetrates your heart. I don't know if any of you have read that book, but it's about the monsters that are in your heart. And so the discussion there was more about, man, what's the stuff that's coming out of my heart called jealousy, you know, and how do I deal with that if I'm going to be a Christian that really wants to honor God in my life? Wednesday nights are normally off. Sometimes we have socials. The video that you saw downstairs, we had a geriatric jam. Yes, we were all dressed up as old people, and it was fun. You know, they do all kinds of different. I mean, that was a new thing this year, but they do different socials every once in a while. So that was on a Wednesday night, but most Wednesday nights are off. Thursday night is a large group worship session where sometimes your staff will speak to you. But then other times, a conference will start on Thursday night. And we've brought in people like, we've brought in Focus to do a conference on Heart for the Nations. You'll be hearing from Mike Story this week. He's my favorite speaker in the world, so he came out this summer to speak to us about disciple making. So he started on Thursday night talking about training disciples. And we went through Saturday around noon or 3 or whatever. Did one Friday night and the morning of Saturday. And that's where you get a lot. You know, if you're really wanting to hear from good speakers and things, getting one to challenge, you know, our students loved that. They loved coming and having opportunities to learn from different people. David Englehart was another one of our speakers this summer. I can't. We had a guy-girl weekend where Rusty Bean and Melody Richeson came and we divided up the guys and the gals. And then one unique weekend out of the summer is your small group weekend. We send the small groups away, and they couldn't live on campus for that weekend. They had to go find, we gave them some money, and they had to go find what they were going to do in Chicago. And so a lot of them went and found cheap hotels, and some of the girls went and saw Wicked together, and everyone went down to the pier. And small group weekend is fun but challenging because by that time, hopefully you know each other pretty well, but you're still trying to figure out how to deal with these people. And so that's where some of the character training comes in. And so that's what the next video I want to show you is, why focus on community. A big part of Project Impact is living among other believers, trying to figure out, okay, this gal is driving me crazy. How do I love her and serve her? You know? Or this girl has really hurt my feelings, or this guy has really hurt my feelings. I don't think I can go another day without resolving this conflict with her. How do I healthily resolve the conflict? And things like that. And so I'll let the guys share a little bit more, and then that's where Shane's going to talk a little bit about the heart attitude. So let's look at why focus on community.
Living in community has a tendency to really kind of find out what you're made of.
As people, more selfish. That's an obvious. I think it doesn't take you very long. You can look at yourself and realize, wow, I'm a selfish person. And I remember the first time I went through Project Impact as a participant, I realized, you know, like later, wow, I was really selfish and all that. It taught me a couple things. One, I realized, you know, there's other people that I've lived with that have other lives, and they have things that they think is important to them. And learning to realize, okay, this is important to this person, and I need to learn to serve them in that.
You learn how to deal with your attitudes. You learn how to serve other people, to defer to other people's wishes and wants and desires, and also learn how to work together, how to, through meal prep, through cleaning. It's just a great thing, because some people have never done those kind of things.
I think living in community is the biggest character builder that the project really has. Students come expecting to learn a bunch of stuff academically and cognitively, but what really happens is they do get some of that stuff. What they walk away with is the experiences that they live with, of living with people, the fun times they had, but then also the conflicts that they had to learn to resolve in a godly manner.
When you live together as a group, you learn how to share. You learn about community, how to give, how to pray for others, how to share your life in ways that you'd not do before. Many times God uses a community situation to show you some of your needs. Other people can pray for you. You have an opportunity to share a life together. You have an opportunity to minister together. And I don't think there's anything that will prepare you for marriage and a family and future and a life in the body of Christ like Project Impact.
When you're for 8 weeks constantly being around people, there is nowhere to hide. I mean, people are going to see you, and they're going to see your good points and your bad points. And so, really, you have to decide, you know, am I going to be a person of character or not? Because everybody's watching, you know. And so I think as you go through this process and you're living with people and people are seeing how you're living your life and keeping you accountable, plus you're getting all this, you know, spiritual growth and knowledge poured into you, then it really affects your character. And you start to live what you actually believe. And you become more of a person of character.
You know, a lot of times in maybe our campus ministry settings, in our place where we live or we're going to school, you know, we can go to a Bible study, we go to a small group on a weekly basis, and we can sit there and we can engage and smile, and we can look and put forth an image of how we want people to see us. But then we get to go back home to our apartment, to our dorm room, close the door, and then we can be someone else. In Project Impact, we're living together for 8-10 weeks, and we're working together, we're playing together, we're worshiping together, we're growing together, we're ministering together, and that is just a tremendous opportunity to really get to know people on a heart level that it's even hard to do in your campus ministry setting. So it's a little scary maybe for some people, but I can't imagine. I mean, some of the closest friends and relationships you will have will come out of your experience of Project Impact. Lifelong friends. Maybe even more than that, will come out of your experiences of Project Impact.
Y'all are probably waiting for some cold hard facts, because y'all are probably wanting to know like the lowdown of what's going on We're going to be at two different locations, Denver, and we're going to be in L.A. And there's going to be three projects, probably two in L.A. right now. We don't really know all the specifics on that, but you can obviously fill out applications, and you need to have reference forms, and all that stuff's located on the website. And you need to get that done as soon as possible. The deadline is March 1st. So I know that some of you are trying to figure out what your summer plans are. We've kind of gone over what Project Impact is a little bit, and we're going to talk, maybe present a case on why it's important, maybe something that you could do. I want to really say this, though. If you don't do Project Impact, you really only have a few summers before you really have to get in that real world, like Dr. Orge was talking about earlier. You only have a few summers to really utilize those. Now, you can go work, and a lot of people do. Take the opportunity while you have it now. You're always going to be busy, and you're always going to just get busier and busier and busier. And so this is really an opportunity right now. This summer could be a good opportunity to go anywhere. But utilize those for, trying to get some training and learn how to walk with God. And so, as you know, what Project Impact is, I wanted to talk about that before I stepped into what community is. And is that basically what Project is a catalyst. And if you've, what a catalyst is it takes something and moves it on faster. 9 weeks if you're a leader, 8 weeks if you're a student participant. And you have to be a freshman or above to participate. That's what we've been trying. We've had some high schoolers participate. I don't know where y'all are at, but what you want is for that 8 weeks to be, like a pressure cooker. And what we're trying to do is we're going to shake you around a little bit. You're going to be put in this, maybe not the most idealistic setting. You might be in a room full of four people. You might be in a setup where you've never lived with a roommate before, and that might be something that is really hard for you. That might be the greatest thing in the world for some of y'all, and y'all might thrive beyond anything. But what happens when you live with other people is, what's inside is going to come out eventually. Anybody can do something for 6 weeks, okay, and really kind of present that good face. But once, that seventh and eighth week, are you really just going to kind of exist, or you really want to get inside what's in your heart? And so kind of what we're trying to do with Project Impact, and it's still in its infant phases of what we're trying to accomplish with this, but there's three things that we're really trying to accomplish with Project. And the first thing is it's knowing God. We really like a student to come out of Project Impact having really learned how to have an established quiet time, learn how to memorize scriptures. If you come to Project, you will be required to memorize scripture. You'll walk out of, if you've memorized scripture already, you might know some of the verses that we memorize as a group. But you will come out of Project knowing 15 verses probably. Okay? If you really put your mind to it. That's nothing, right? Well, you're going to know them cold. Okay? You're going to know them, you're going to remember them for the rest of your life, hopefully. Those are just like the basic things. Knowing God and really just walking with Him and really having an intimacy with Him and really kind of, and as far as some of these are things that you pick up at conferences like this, like, hey, I'm supposed to have a quiet time. Well, we're going to really concentrate on getting you time for that, but at the same time, really trying to have you trust in God. For most of you, you're going to be outside of your normal existence, in a setting like your college campus. You're going to get outside of and go to Chicago like we've been. That's far away. You're just far enough where you have to trust on God and you got to trust on the people that are around you. And so you're going to be stretched. So we're going to try to teach you the principles of what it takes to walk with God. And the second thing is obviously fostering and forging and just creating this desire for relationship evangelism and relationship discipleship, because you're going to be in these houses with people and you're going to have to do what relationship discipleship is, and it's not just sitting and listening to something. It's actually modeling like they showed on the picture. And the other one is obviously, you know, relationship evangelism. It couldn't have had a more perfect opportunity for Dr. Orge to talk about exactly what the summer's about. You know, getting a job, trying to model your life in front of a non-believer that you're probably going to work next to, and really understand the principles of that. So you're going to walk away from project knowing how to share your faith, and you're going to understand the principles of what it takes to, hopefully, you're not going to probably know it entirely, but you're going to actually understand some of the principles behind why people spend their life trying to help you grow. And in spiritual multiplication, things like that. And so, some of the verses that come to mind, you know, is 1 Corinthians 11:1. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Has anybody got the Great Commission down? Whichever one you want to say. You got it?
Yours is the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. Acts 1:8.
Does anybody know? That's good. Does anybody know 1 Thessalonians 2:8? Does anybody get that? Let's look that up real quick. And if you're in the room right now and you're thinking about maybe stepping into like a leadership role, please talk to us, because we need people that are going to really live in these houses with, you're probably live with one or two, or you're probably three student participants. And you're really going to have a lot of pressure put on you, because, you know, you're going to be modeling how to live, and you're going to be modeling how to walk with God as other people will pour into you. So if you think that that might be something you're really, you want that extra challenge, you know, talk to us. We'd really like to talk to you about it. Somebody get that verse.
What was it?
1 Thessalonians 2:8.
We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us.
So Paul comes into this the situation where he's laid down his life, and he didn't just share the gospel, but he shared his life, and they could see him, and he worked hard among them, and you could see the fruit of that. And that right there sums up really what Project, the discipleship and the evangelism aspect coming together, and it's life on life, and you see people's lives, you know, really in the workplace and at home. And basically, one of the biggest things that we've stepped into is, and what binds all these together is that the third thing, you know, we get the knowing God. We want students to walk away knowing and having a stronger relationship with God and intimacy with Him. We want them to understand practical evangelism in the workplace. We want you to be equipped with those things. So we want to foster evangelism, a desire for evangelism and discipleship. And that third thing is, you know, we really want them to students to walk away with a commitment to character growth and community growth. And one of the ways that we've done that is this thing called the heart attitudes. And as you sign up, you're really committing to live these out in your community group, in your house group, and among the group as a large. And let's look up Philippians 2, 3, and 4. And what the heart attitudes are is they are our guidelines for how we're going to do life with each other. And y'all might have heard these before, but they really do play a big role in how we treat each other and how we not just treat each other, but how we are going to actually deal with conflict and how we are going to live life as in a group of community. So it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And so that's the first thing. and living in a community like this. And that is going to be tested. And we're going to put you in situations where that is tested. And we're going to talk about and see how we can actually apply that to not only our house situation, but to the people that we're around daily. The second one is, let's go, Ephesians 4:25. So that first heart attitude is putting the goals and interests of others above your own. And just that idea of, if we're going to live successfully in a group, you know, this goes for anywhere. And basically what happens in a project is you kind of are condensed into an 8-week time frame where you get a lot of pressure and you get a lot of situations where you're going to, you know, be arguing over where the comb is and you know, somebody left toothpaste on the sink and stuff that tips off, you know, and people are combustive. But there's also this idea of actually being transparent. Not transparent, but that's not really the word that we're looking for. We're looking for this idea of having an open, being open with each other. Because if you're going to live with a community, you can't lie to each other. Somebody get this verse. Mm-hmm. What happens, you know, this is a rhetorical question, but what happens when you lie continually to people? Maybe not. You present a false front. Is what happens is people, you're putting on a mask. And people respond to help you based on what that mask looks like. And they're not really responding to help the real you. And so one of the things that, you know, that is a principle in all of Christian, you know, in church and things like that is we can't lie to each other. And so that's one of the main tenets is that with the heart attitude that we're going to work on this summer is that we're really going to try to be open with each other. And we're not going to we're not going to just be fakers and put on that front of what, you know, and try to look like the part. But we're really going to actually open up and be honest with each other and not try to, you know, obviously there's lying and then there's just not being open and letting people in. And so, and having integrity is basically what this is. You know, the first one is basically having a heart of humility and love. And then this one is really having an open and honest way about you that's integrity. And that those two things coupled with this next one. Let's look up Colossians 3:13. Next one is really trying to get into a situation where everybody has kind of a whistle, and you know that there's other verses that talk about this, but really being able to you know confront each other, you know, and you're going to be in a situation where you know correct, you're going to need to be able to take correction, you're going to be able to need to forgive people. You need to be in a situation. So the third thing is really is just taking spiritual correction or correction and really taking that for what it is. And there's going to be a lot of that in a situation, and you're going to have to living in a community. That's one of the things that really happens because it leads to this next one that we're going to talk about. Of you know, can you take correction? How do you take correction? You know, there's a scriptural way to do that. And we're really going to try to unpack that this summer and really try to get into how does that work in the community, because a lot of relationships have been ruined. But at the same time, a lot of things go unnoticed because people aren't brave enough or have the courage to call people on stuff. And if you really love somebody, you're going to call them on the carpet and you're going to tell them in truth and love. And this fourth thing is obviously clearing up relationships. So the first one is, you know, putting others first. I mean, And then the second one is not lying to each other. The third thing is, you know, really is scriptural correction. Third thing is clearing of relationships. And let's turn to Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. And so this idea of really clearing up relationships, you know, and there's lots of things on, you know, forgiveness and stuff like that, but keeping a clear account. A lot of times we have conflict with each other, but we don't ever resolve it. We're really probably the one thing that we're really good at is calling people on the carpet and telling them what they did wrong. And then we find out later that, you know, we never really reconciled that relationship. And so in a community and in a group, and you probably are running into some of this stuff, you know, in your daily life, is you probably haven't, there might be somebody you haven't cleared up a relationship with. And we want to live in that clear, we want to be able to know how to have healthy conflict, because conflict's going to happen, and some of it's good, but you need to be able to handle how to deal with that healthily and according to Scripture. And it always is calling you to go and be the one that reconciles the relationship. Those are the four things that have to revolve around, and you know, those are the hard attitudes that we really are, you know, interpersonal relationships that are going to help the community thrive this summer. And those are things that we're going to work on the entire summer. And that's what really partnered with, you know, all these other things you're going to learn. But those things right there, you're going to have to apply. You're going to have to actually live those out. Because if you don't, you're going to have a miserable summer. You're going to have a miserable life if you don't apply those things. And then the fifth and sixth one is participating in the ministry. You know, and we're going to talk about that. I'll save some of those, you know, for the summer if you choose to, you know, and you'll probably hear some of that. But the fifth and sixth hard attitude would be, you know, participating in the ministry and doing my part. You know, and that's financially and that's service. Because each one of you have a gift, you know, and you need to plug in wherever you're at in the body. And so the five, six, and seven have more to do with, you know, how the structure of a church and how the structure of that, and the seventh one is following spiritual authority, you know, within scriptural limits. And that's going to be a huge thing for you guys if you choose to do this, because not only are you going to have to be open with people, but you're going to have to submit to, you know, the leadership authority. And really, you're not submitting until you disagree with some of the decisions. You know, you're just going along together until something happens that maybe you don't agree with or don't understand. And then that's when it actually comes down to actually submitting to what authority has been placed in front of you. And let's look up Hebrews 13:17 real quick, and I'll be done with the hard attitudes. Hebrews 13:17 is, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be, so that you will be a joy to them and not a burden. Actually, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. So this idea of actually being a joy to whoever you are under, that's a principle for life, okay? Whether you go to project or not, and you take anything out of this time that we're with, is that making people successful that you're under, you know, like he was talking about. One of the reasons that he got that break is because he was really trying to help somebody be successful in what they were doing. And God's put you under people in your life, and you know, whether you're, one of the ways this will work out is this summer, if you choose to do project, you'll have a boss, probably not a Christian. And you're going to have to submit to them. And you're going to have to, you know, make it a joy to them that you're going to work really hard, and that's going to give you opportunities maybe to share with them. But also just the fact that they are been put in place over you. And if there's these seven attitudes, and you can talk to me about some of them, but if you're not open with people this summer or in your life, if you're not open with the people around you and they can't see you for what you really are, and you need, if you do that, one, right there, and number two, if you're really open with people and they can really help you with your problems, then number seven, if you really try to let people and follow their leadership, they can lead you to a better you, one that's really actually walking with God, and you can fix those issues that you might have. Does that make sense? Kind of. But as far as community goes, we're going to participate in churches, local churches, that follow the same tenets. You're going to get to participate in some of the better churches in California and Denver. And that alone, you're going to meet some godly people that are lay men and women that are really doing these things in their life. And you're going to be able to see the way they interact with their kids. And you're going to be able to see a lot of things. And so it's a totally different paradigm that you've probably seen being on a campus with just students. And so being able to participate in a local body during the summer, you'll be assigned to a church and you'll stay there for the 8 weeks. You'll get to know people in the community, hopefully, and you'll be able to, that way if somebody does come to Christ that you're working with, you'll be able to hand them off to a local congregation and they'll be able to work on them. You'll be able to check on them maybe, hopefully, in a few years. So California, Denver, the cost is going to be probably about $1,200 to $1,600. We haven't really worked that out yet. It depends on some of the issues. You're going to need to have your own transportation. And I know that some of you don't have cars, but there is going to be a way to go if you don't have a car. But it is really good if you do have your own transportation, so because so much happens on the road, because you're going to have to get to work. You do have to have a 40-hour week job. There will be service opportunities. We're going to do some service projects in different areas. There's all kinds of different aspects of it, and I know we can't really. If you have questions, come talk to me. I'll be at that table all week, and there's anything you want to know, I'll tell you as far as I know right now. But as of right now, we're going to Denver, in LA, and LA is beautiful, obviously, and Denver's probably really nice in the summertime, I bet.
There's also just a whole lot of more just logistical information on the website that you can definitely look that up. It's projectimpact.ws, whatever WS stands for. And so you can look that up. It has a lot of answers to questions. And then there's also an email address on that website that you can just, it's like a, if you need more information or if you have more questions, you can... you can email, and that comes to, it'll come to either Shane or it'll come to Holly Kimbrough, who's also been on staff. And so we'll get your questions answered that way. I don't want to kind of take over the time, but my last thing I wanted to ask you guys was just, have any of you, I know that we just had New Year's, did any of you set a New Year's resolution? No? How many of you guys, I'm just curious, how many of you guys set your New Year's resolutions? Did anybody write them out? Okay, I did. But the gal I was hanging out with that night, I said, do you make New Year's resolutions? She said, no, I don't make New Year's resolutions anymore. She says, every time I've done them, I've never accomplished my resolutions or whatever. And I said, well, yeah, I understand that. I think I've probably been that way before. But then when I got to thinking about it and I was really praying over mine, I thought, I might not accomplish these every year, but I'm glad I at least have a goal. I'm glad I at least have a target. What's that saying? It says, if you don't have a target, you'll miss it every time. Is that how it goes? if you don't have something to shoot towards, you're going to miss it every time. And, And the thing about it, you know, the things that Max said last night, just every time, I mean, I was in Max's ministry. Every time I hear those stories, every time I hear that, I mean, I've heard that same talk, I'm sure, several times. Every time I hear it, I'm so challenged and impacted to really work on just some discipline and really setting some goals and working hard. I just think Project Impact is a place where you can really get to the point where you're trying to really discipline yourself and set some goals and get well on your way so that you're going to be a person of influence the rest of your life. I remember in the fourth grade when I was in a school assembly, you know, where everybody gets out of their classes and you get to go down to the assembly room or whatever, the cafeteria, and somebody was speaking. And they said to us, you know, your life can impact this world. You can have an impact in the world. And I remember believing it in fourth grade. And somewhere, junior high and high school, I realized how little I was. And, you know, I'm just Cindy. And I'm not going to impact the world. You know, I'll probably be an O'Fallon. I didn't know where I was going to go from after high school. I just kind of didn't think. And then I came to OU. And I met a man, Max Barnett, who literally has impacted the entire world because he disciplined himself, he invested in small groups of people who've literally gone all around the world reproducing the life of Jesus Christ in other people. And I just think that Project Impact is the start to that because you get an opportunity to set your goals and to have people help you accomplish them. And so I would kind of encourage you to set your New Year's resolutions and have something that you're going towards. And then get, even if you don't go to Project Impact, get involved in the lives of other people so they can challenge you in the hard attitudes. They can challenge you in character building. And I would encourage you to get a mentor or get a discipler who's helping you accomplish those goals and helping you to be a little bit more disciplined in your life. And then finally, like what Max said, I would encourage you to start doing the same for someone else. Reproduce it. 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul says to Timothy, the things I've heard from you, or the things you've heard from me, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust into faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Paul taught Timothy, Timothy taught faithful men taught others also. And so whether you do Project Impact or not, I think if you do it, you'll be better trained to make disciples. I think if you don't, you better get involved in it somehow in your ministry. Okay, so I'm going to pray for you that you will do that, and I'm going to pray for you, and then we'll stick around and answer questions if you have any. But
is there any really pressing question that would be good for other people to hear right now?
Any what?
Any good question that somebody other else that would want to know? Any questions, other? Does anybody have any questions? Okay, like she said, we'll be here.
We'll be here, yeah, if you have specific ones or any, you know, I'm sure as you go along and you do the application process, some questions will start coming up, you know, and we do have some information that on the website and things that can, you know, somehow I walked out of my office without any brochures for Project Impact. I don't know, it was, you know, I packed 2 weeks ago and I got to Denver after being in St. Louis and Kansas City and I'm like, where are my brochures? But I do have contact cards downstairs on the table. So if you really, after the session, you're like, man, yeah, this would be something I'm kind of interested in, I'd like your contact information. So then we can send you brochures and then email updates about, you know, when the deadlines are and things for applications. So let me pray for y'all, okay? Lord Jesus, we are just so grateful for you because you make such a difference in people's lives. Lord, we want to be more like you. I do. I want to be more like the man that walked here on this earth for 30-ish years. And Lord, I want to be a person that serves others. I want to be a person that loves unconditionally. I want to be a person that does forgive. And I want to be a disciplined person. I want to be a person that can model a godly lifestyle in front of other people. And so, Lord, I just pray that that might be the desire and the heart of all these students that are sitting here, the people that are in this room. God, that you would help us to become better disciplers and followers of you, and you'd help us to become people that can influence and impact this world. Lord, we want to reach the nations. We want people to know you. We so desperately want people to know you. So, God, I pray that you would train us and help us to know how to do that. especially while we're young, so that for the rest of our lives we can do it for your glory. And we just pray all of these things, expecting them to happen, because we prayed in your name. Amen. Guys, thanks for being here in the workshop. Have fun with your lunch buddies.